Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Apparently, I hit them all in the mouth a little too hard last week because they decided not to join me. Hello, everybody. I'm Pod Vader here with only one super fan, and that is Nick, our chief super fan. And Nick joined me, admittedly, at the last minute. Nick, thank you so much for making the time to join me on your podcast.
No problem. Like Singletary, I get hit in the mouth and I keep on coming.
Yes, I love it. And then I guess we have our 34th super fan. Shall we call her that, Nick? It's Ramona Rice. Yeah, Ramona
Maybe
Rice, 33rd, the sports gal pal.
Even.
The 33rd. Well, yeah, I'm the 33rd.
No, you're Papa super fan. Tim and I had this discussion on my podcast. So the Atlanta Falcons super fan. No, you are Papa super fan. You're ahead of all of us, and we merely just follow along in your imperial army.
Interesting. Dun 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 dun. Sorry, I was singing Star Wars earlier before they connected in the studio. I felt like doing it again. So Ramona, thank you for joining me. You have a super busy day today too.
I do. So in my real life, when I'm not jabbering about sports, I'm actually the communications manager for Rose and Womble Realty in Virginia Beach, Virginia. We're the largest locally owned real estate firm in Virginia. And today we are actually giving out 1,000 full Thanksgiving meals to needy families throughout the area. So, and of course, this is the one day Pod Vader's like, hey, come on to the show. And I'm like, really? All the days, Pod Vader? It's the busiest day of my... So yes. Yeah. So thank you for letting me plug that so I can legitimately be on the show today.
Well, thank you for making the time, and thank you for what your company is doing. Obviously, a very important aspect of, especially around this time of year. But, people need to realize that it's not only important to donate food to the needy around Thanksgiving. It's a year-round thing. So just, go out and donate, please, on Thanksgiving. But don't forget the needy throughout the year. Because that is a very important aspect of being a community. And that's what we like to be here, or what we'd like to think we are here as super fans. We do have super fan battles for you this week. We have the Jets versus the Texans, the Buccaneers versus your Eagles. Sitko made an appearance here, Ramona. And we have the Chiefs versus the Chargers. Those will be coming up here shortly. But if you'd like to be a super fan, please email us nextfanup@gmail.com. That's the way that you can get in on this action. And as you can tell, all I have is a Chiefs super fan today. So there's plenty of openings available. We'll make a 35th and a 36th spot open if we have to.
I have no problem. Vader. I mean, I think I'm an upgrade. I'm awesome. So, this is true.
Listen, there you go, guys. I will replace all 32 super fans with just Ramona if necessary. Don't make me do it.
Slack is blowing up right now.
What's up, Nick?
The next workout pal fan something.
The sports next fan gal pal up. That didn't happen. Anyway, you can tweet. Right. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast. You can check out the previews. Some of our superfans did, in fact, write previews. You can check those out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. Of course, if you're on Facebook, you just go to the search bar. You type in Next Fan Up. We come. But we're right there. You can't miss us. And you'll also see a link to this podcast on that page as well. Obviously, we're in iTunes. Please leave us a review in iTunes. That would be fantastic. A few people did, and I will read those reviews a little bit later. But let's get to some football here. Enough of the jibber-jabbering. We got to get into some football. And we've got Thursday night football, the Titans versus the Jaguars. Ramona, my question before we even start with the Titans and the Jaguars is, what was with the uniforms in that Bills-Jets game last week?
Okay, so first off, can I say, why does the girl get the fashion question? But I'm going to answer because we talked about this on Twitter. The Bills, I feel like they were representing the Starbucks non-Christmas cups that everybody's complaining about, because that's what they look like. It looked like a bunch of Starbucks cups on there. And then I couldn't tell if the Jets were like trying to be, you know, just like green screens or Christmas trees or something. It was very holiday themed. I think it was a little premature. Like, let's let Thanksgiving happen first, boys. So it was a little much.
It was quite a bit. I don't quite get why red was chosen for the Buffalo Bills, as I believe their primary color is blue. The one question I have, and I don't know if either of you know, is are we expecting to see this color rush thing again tonight with the Titans and the Jaguars?
Yes. So the Jaguars are going to look like lima bean green or something. It's disgusting. I mean, I looked at them and I'm like, it's like gold or something. It's weird. It's not good.
Wait, we really are getting another color rush tonight? That's so unnecessary, NFL. Like, really?
Ugh. I could be wrong, but I thought I saw on Twitter that the Jaguars were like in all like their weird gold. I don't understand it. I don't understand much about the Jaguars, to be honest with you. So
their uniforms are already out of control. I mean, those helmets are just insane. Where you have like the chrome plated gold on the back and the matte black on the front. You look like looks like it's like you're playing two different teams based on where the cameras are positioned, you know, in front or behind the line. It's just I've never been a fan of that. I don't know whether Shad Khan was interested in, you know, like channeling the XFL or something there. But I have a feeling those uniforms aren't going to last very long.
Yes, please, NFL, please stop the madness. All right. In terms of football, we have a young Tennessee team with a rookie quarterback who has had a couple of good games. He's been injured. They've been all over the place. We've got the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I said I was believing in. Then I said I was off the roller coaster. Then I said I was back on the roller coaster again. I don't know what to do with this Jacksonville Jaguars team, but I'm going to pick them to win tonight. They're at home. I'm using the Greg Steelers superfan strategy here on this one. Jaguars at home. What do you say, Ramona?
I agree. I think, you know, but this depends. You know, Blake Bortles is having a great season. Can any of his receivers actually catch any balls is what I'm curious about, because it's like throw, drop, throw, drop, throw, drop. So I'm interested in that. And then again, with the Titans, I do like that Mariota is back, but road game, they're already kind of suspect anyway. So yeah, let's give it to the Jags. I feel like this is the game that was created for Thursday Night Football, by the way, because it's the most craptacular game ever, because that division's awful. And these teams, they are upstarting, but they're just still playing really poorly. So
you could say that about a lot of the NFL this year. Nick, who do you got in this one, Tennessee or Jacksonville?
Yeah, I'd be taking Jacksonville even if they were on the road. There's really just the only unit, the only like side of the ball that I like in this game is Jacksonville's offense. I think they have the horses to put up points and do some good things if they can win, if and when they stay consistent, as Ramona pointed out. The Titans just don't have anything together. They don't have a complete offense. They have no running game. They don't have a defense that scares anybody at any of the position groups. I think this should be an easy win for Jacksonville in a season where they seemingly have not been able to get those.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, there you go, our breakdown of the Thursday night game. It's time for some Superfan Super Battles.
All right, we're on to our next battle. Again, this is James, the Houston Texans Superfan, and I am joined now by Andrew, the New York Jets Superfan. How are you doing tonight, Andrew?
Still recovering. Even though I had 3 extra days to recover from a Jets loss because they played last Thursday night, It still hurts, so I'm still a little bit miffed and not really in the mood to talk football. So, James, hopefully there's some good news on the horizon with your Texans, with the Jets playing the Texans, because, you know, the Texans are one of the worst teams in football, right?
They certainly play that way, and if you believe, you know, DVOA, they have them ranked as the 27th best team, if you want to take an optimistic view on being ranked 27th out of 32 teams. But, you know, we've done one thing that the rest of the league has not done, which is beat Cincinnati this season. Now, you already mentioned having three extra days off. How do you feel that plays in, not necessarily with just this game, but in general, having three extra days off against a team that's playing on a short week?
It's huge. So last week, I actually picked the Bills to beat the Jets. The biggest reason was that it just seemed to me that the Bills were getting healthy at the right time, guys like LeSean McCoy and Carlos Williams and Sammy Watkins coming back, while the Jets were getting hurt at the wrong time with Brandon Marshall not being healthy, Chris Ivory not being completely healthy, Calvin Pryor being out, Eric Decker wasn't 100% either. The Jets had a bunch of injuries coming off. And now Ryan Fitzpatrick just had surgery on Friday to repair his thumb on his left throwing hand, I mean on his non-throwing hand, which would be his left hand. And he says he's going to play, but he's in a race against time, or else Geno Smith is going to start. But it seems
so. What would you rather have? Let's say, you know, at what percent effectiveness of Fitzpatrick? You know, 75-80% versus a 100% Geno Smith. What's the trade-off for you there?
See, that's the thing. Like the premise might be a little off there, because Fitzpatrick says that the thumb only bothers him maybe once or twice a game. Like randomly, when he has to hand off the ball, when he has to take a snap from center, it's not really affecting him throwing the ball. I don't think he played so well against Buffalo, but I don't think it was anything that you wouldn't expect from Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, it was sort of like a middle of the road Ryan Fitzpatrick game. He didn't kill you, but he didn't really make a lot of plays he didn't provide a lot of time in the pocket for his offensive line. The offensive line played very well, actually, which is a weird thing. We were talking about this before we started recording, that only Nick Mangold and James Carpenter had been positive contributors on the offensive line this year. And we all know where the strength of the Texans is, and it's a defensive line, more just J.J. Watt than anything else. He's a one-man wrecking crew. I mean, I know Sitko's not on the bandwagon. I mean, I think he's the only person not on the bandwagon when it comes to his on-the-field, when it comes to the J.J. Watt's on-the-field play. Off the field, it might be something different, but on the field, Sitko doesn't seem to think he's, one of the top five defensive players in football, and I think he's clearly the best. So my question to you is, do you think J.J. Watt is good enough to single-handedly win you guys this game?
I think J.J. Watt can be a one-man wrecking crew and can definitely influence the game enough that we can't lose. I didn't say win there, because we're not trotting him out as a tight end anymore, and so he can't score us that many points. But anytime Cincinnati this past week would just do single coverage without a chip, either from a tight end, a slot receiver, or a running back, he was getting back, causing Carson Palmer to have either step up in the pocket prematurely, force a lot of pressure on Carson Palmer, or he was drawing holding penalties. And so J.J. Watt playing right was a huge contributor. Their final drive that A.J. Green ultimately fumbled on, J.J. Watt had to come to the sideline. And at that point, Houston had two timeouts. If I'm Bill O'Brien, I call a timeout and just hope that J.J. Watt can either get over the stinger that he has, or if he's gassed a little, and just get back on the field, because once he came off the field, you saw just how effectively Cincinnati was able to drive down the field.
Yeah. I just want to make a correction, because I think Simon might be having a seizure now. It is not 2005. Carson Palmer is not the Cincinnati Bengals quarterback. You got the red rifle Andy Dalton throwing balls back there. And until this past week, he was one of the best quarterbacks in football, which is why it gives me pause as a Jets fan. I thought this game was going to be a simple game. I thought the Jets were going to win by 14 to 20 points. I really thought the Texans, before Monday night, before I saw the Monday night game, that they were one of the worst teams in football. But the thing is, I don't trust the Jets offensive line enough to give Fitzpatrick time. And Marshall and Decker need to make plays, but Jonathan Joseph has been playing well recently. And you have another corner on the outside, Kevin Johnson, the 16th overall pick, who has been overshadowed by other rookie performers, like the Jets' Leonard Williams. And I can't think of any other guys off the top of my head, but he's been very good, Kevin Johnson, this year. So they had the corners to take away Decker and Marshall, or at least limit them. And Decker and Marshall, if Chris Ivory doesn't run as he has the first couple of weeks of the year, as opposed to him just grinding 2 to 3 yards a carry, which has been the case the last 4 weeks, then the Jets are going to have issues.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm surprised, because obviously the game is being played down in Houston. The Jets are coming in as 3-point favorites. It seems, this should be a pick 'em. We talked beforehand, you know, if this was being played up in New York, I don't think Houston would have much of a chance, but I think it's fair to say that they're at least 50-50 down in Houston playing at home. What do you think of the revenge factor for Ryan Fitzpatrick against the team that traded him this offseason?
I mean, I think Fitzpatrick has had many revenge games, these types of things, because he's played for six teams. So I usually think those type of things are usually results-based. Like if the Jets come out and win, like, oh, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he wanted to get revenge on his team and he did it. But like, I think he's level-headed enough to know that the Texans need to want to go another direction, maybe even a younger direction with Mallett. I didn't necessarily agree with it. That we've seen what's gone on with that whole situation with Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett playing quarterback. But we're about 10 to 12 minutes into this preview, I imagine, and we still haven't even spoken about the Texans quarterback. Who is starting? Is Brian Hoyer or TJ Yates going to be starting this game, and does it even matter?
So the conglomeration of Brian Yates, the new quarterback for the Texans, is going to be starting. One of the encouraging things of the Monday Night Football game was when Yates came in, the offense didn't really get that much worse. Both Hoyer and Yates had a 70-yard drive that resulted in points. They both are proving that they don't care how covered DeAndre Hopkins is. They're just going to chuck it to him and let DeAndre Hopkins do what DeAndre Hopkins does. I don't see a significant step back to Yates if Hoyer can't go. And, you know, I don't really see a huge change in the ceiling of play if Hoyer is playing versus Yates. It might limit the playbook a little bit, but, you know, Houston doesn't get to run that many plays. They go three and out a lot, so how deep into the playbook are you going to get? The matchup I am very interested, though, is how Hopkins does on Revis Island. So what do you think is going to happen there?
I was going to say that. Like, it seems to me I'm going through the Texans skill position. It seems like you have signed every AFC South wide receiver over the past 4 years. You got like Cecil Shorts playing, you got Nate Washington playing, and then obviously Foster isn't in the backfield anymore. You got Alfred Blue running with Jonathan Grimes. Hopkins is the one guy that everyone knows the ball is going to, and yet just seems to be making plays every week. Every single week the guy makes plays. Of that, he had made an incredible one-handed catch in the end zone on Monday night. And as for Revis, is can he take Hopkins? Yeah, he could limit Hopkins. I don't think he's going to limit Hopkins to two catches and like 30 yards, because I feel like they're just going to force the ball to Hopkins so much. He's going to be targeted 15 times in this game. So as good as Revis is, he's still, and don't get me wrong, Revis is still one of the top cornerbacks in the league. All that garbage coming out about how he's not no longer an elite quarterback, that's exactly what it is. It's garbage, because he's still one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. I'm ending it there. And doesn't even like it's we're nitpicking at this point. If you're going to go cornerback five to quarterback seven, he's great, and that's what matters. The thing with the Jets secondary is that they haven't been able to tackle at all. The Jets have had a couple of weeks ago against Oakland. In that game, gave up the most missed the most tackles of any team in any game this year. They missed 19 tackles. That game was 3 weeks ago. Then they had a game against the Jaguars where they only missed three, and then this past week when they lost to Buffalo on Thursday night, they missed 17. So the issue hasn't been fixed. And a big reason for that is Calvin Pryor has been out those games, and he is our last line of defense. He will light you up. And I think they're going to slide. They're going to try to slide Pryor to Revis's side and just completely and sort of if Hopkins wants to go over the middle, let him go over the middle, and Pryor will light him up, because – he's the only guy that we should be worried about is Hopkins, because none of those other guys scare me.
All right. Well, we're no stranger to poor tackling, as the Miami Dolphins can attest to. Hopefully we can at least get into the backfield like we did against the Bengals. And even though our secondary with Jonathan Joseph is playing better than average now, if you give any quarterback enough time, even Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's going to find the seam, and then we're going to struggle to tackle. But so I think we've covered just about every angle on this game. Who's your pick, and what's your score?
I have the Jets winning this game 27-17. I think Yates is going to make a mistake. I think I just feel like Yates is going to make more mistakes than Fitzpatrick is. I feel like the Jets have more weapons on defense that Houston has to worry about, while the Jets just have to really focus on J.J. Watt, because Jadeveon Clowney is most likely not going to play this game. The Jets know who they have to stop. They have to stop Hopkins on offense, they have to stop Watt on defense, and I trust Todd Bowles enough to be able to recognize that and be able to do something about that. So I'm going Jets 27-17. Maybe the game's a little closer than that score, but I'm fairly confident the Jets are going to win this game.
All right, going big offensively, unless you have like a couple defensive touchdowns baked into those 44
points.
Yeah,
that's what, I think Yates is going to make a mistake that either gives the Jets very good field position or the Jets take it back to the house. Sure as hell is not going to be on special teams. Because I know, because people always like to overlook special teams, but the Jets have had one of the worst special teams in football this year. If you just watch that game Thursday night, Devin Smith fumbling that touchdown, that was the difference in the game, when the Bills scoring that touchdown on that kickoff return. So who knows? Maybe that happens again.
I've posted to our Slack group, I think this is going to be a lower scoring game. I'm thinking more along the 14-13, 14-12 line. And I actually have the Texans since they're playing at home. Any other final comments?
No, I mean I'm glad you're optimistic about it, because I sound optimistic about it, but it's just every time where optimism comes out, I feel like all Jet fans can relate to this. When any optimism comes out, you immediately have this sort of gag reflex where you're like, oh no, I can't be this optimistic. I'm leaving myself open for the gut punch, you know? So I do think the Jets are going to win, but I'm still leaving that sliver. I have my guard up.
For this super fan, let me let the explosion stop. For this super fan battle, this is the Eagles and the Buccaneers game. I am the super fan for the Eagles, Mark Sitko. I also have with us the super fan for the Bucks, Dan. How are you doing, Dan?
I am marvelous. About to get ready to go and play a soccer game this evening, so I'm pumped.
Nice. Just like a local league, or where do you play?
Yeah, it's a bunch of our friends, and we play every Wednesday night, so it's six aside, and we just get together and have some fun.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's great. Have fun. Stay safe. Tape up the ankles. Be careful. I play a little soccer in Brooklyn. We would play in Prospect Park, and yeah, man, you get slide tackles and stuff. People are serious out there. They're not messing around. Have fun, man. That's awesome. But our battle that is coming up, we need to talk about. Why don't you start off? Just tell me about the Bucs, where they're at right now, and how you feel they might do this weekend.
I'm quite excited about this game, especially as we helped you out last week beating the Cowboys.
Thank you.
It's really weird. I think these teams are actually quite similar. I was looking, doing a bit of prep for this, and you look at, I mean, it's a shame that Bradford's not playing, because I was surprised how similar that him and Winston have been this year. From a stats point of view, very similar when it comes to, I think Winston's got 10 TDs, Bradford had 11. They're both thrown for just over 2,000 yards. And they've both been stacked about 16, 17 times. But a lot of their problems seem to come on third down. So I was looking forward to that battle, but now it's going to be the Sanchez. It's going to be a weird game, because I guess they're both playing for playoffs. I don't really know at this point. For you, it's good that the Giants are on their bye week, because you can make up a little bit of ground, and I guess that's how you're going to be looking at the game, being at home. But I think these are two teams that are capable of winning against any team in the league and losing against any team in the league. So I really couldn't tell you what to expect in this one.
No, I totally agree. And just adding Sanchez really complicates things. I mean, I have no idea what to expect. He came out and looked great in the game against the Dolphins, and then, of course, threw the interception that cost us the game. So it's very hard to be excited. He did exactly what we expect Sanchez to do. It's like, oh, he comes in, you're like, man, he's really moving, he looks great. And then he makes like the critical mistake at the worst opportune time. Oh, man. So, yeah, I don't know what to expect at all either. I'm kind of excited for the game. That's really fascinating to look at the stats being very similar to the two quarterbacks. I personally really want to see what Winston's going to do. I like Winston a lot, and I'm excited to see what he is. The players on your team that fascinate me the most are the two linebackers. You have these two rookie, right? What is the name of your rookie linebacker who's playing really well in the middle there?
Quan Alexander's the main one, and he came in the fourth round from LSU, and he's just torn it up. He just flies around. Typical cover two linebacker, really quick, plays quite deep, and he's just a run and chase. He's a little bit like who's your linebacker, Michael Kendrick. Very similar. When he was coming out in the draft, I thought that was the kind of linebacker we could use in this system, and it seems we've found it in Quan Alexander.
That's amazing. I mean, for him to come out of the draft and in his first year already be making that impact is awesome. We had a kid like that. We had Hicks, and he had to leave. He had a torn pectoral, so we've lost him.
Yeah.
But our inside linebackers are fine. How do you feel against our run game? So our run game is hit or miss. We were putting up about 150 to 170 the last couple games, and then we kind of stumbled this last game against the Dolphins, who have a supposedly horrible run defense. They were ranked before that game, but they did fine against us. I'm scared of those linebackers. If you stop our run game, it puts everything on Sanchez, and I think that could be really troublesome. So that's where I'm most afraid of. Do you feel confident in that as you look at the Buccaneers? How have you done against the run so far this year?
We've done okay. I mean, we're 12th in the league against the run, 10th against the pass. But I think that's really – it doesn't tell the whole story because that's just yards. We give away critical third downs. And the typical of that defense that Lovie plays, it's kind of sit back, keep everything in front of you, don't give up the big play. I'm worried about Ryan Matthews. I think assuming he's healthy and ready to go, I mean, 5.7 yards a carry, I think he could really hurt us because the one thing that we've struggled with this year, especially from the linebacker core, is missed tackles. You look at Lavonte David, I think, is fifth in the league with 81 tackles, and Quan Alexander's done a really nice job, but they're still missing quite a few tackles. Not getting off the field and giving it back to Winston. So if we can stop the run, it'll be by committing to it, putting eight in the box regularly and challenging Sanchez to throw the ball against our... It's not a great secondary, but I think they may commit to stopping the run first to win this game.
Yeah. Do you have any questions for me? Any thoughts on the Eagles that you want to know about? Anything you're curious about?
Well, the obvious ones, the quarterbacking situation. But I looked at the wide receiver court and I was not scared in the slightest. And our cornerbacks are horrible.
You shouldn't be.
They are horrible. And I just thought, I'm not worried about any part of this.
No, the only one is Jordan Matthews. I mean, if Jordan Matthews has a great game and if you can't cover him in the slot, that's the only thing that could possibly scare you. Ertz is a decent tight end, but nothing to like really frighten anybody. And then, I mean, I would personally take Austin and Cooper out back and shoot them both. I can't get them off of my team fast enough. And they will both be gone in this offseason. Austin has... If you look at the stats of how many times on third down or fourth down even we've gone to Austin and he's let us down, it's at least a dozen times this year already. It's to the point in Philadelphia, we don't understand. It's like, bring a kid from the practice squad. Clearly this dude can't do it. Like, put somebody else back there to catch the ball. So it's just a shame. Like, yeah, Austin, ugh. And then Cooper, I've just never really been a great fan. He's fine, but nothing to be afraid of. Huff is so inconsistent. He's nothing you're going to worry about there. The one is Jordan Matthews. He's our one receiver of note. We're clearly missing Macklin. It is a shame not to have him. I don't know if he's worth the money he's getting paid, but he would be very helpful in Philly this year. Question for you on your receivers. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, surely this comes back to the O-line, because looking at Pro Football Focus, your line's actually... I think pretty much all of them have positive grades this year. But you look at that last game against Miami, Bradford got hammered from left, right, center. He just couldn't stay clean.
Yes.
But we can't consistently get pressure. And we've changed both our defensive ends this year. So we've got Howard Jones and William Golston, when it was Jaquise Smith and George Johnson that we got over from the Lions. I don't know if we can get the same level of pressure on you as the Dolphins did.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, we don't know if Jason Peters is going to play. They're not announcing it yet. If he comes back, that's a huge help. Everything kind of slides back into place. But we lost Jason Peters a couple of weeks ago to a back injury that just hasn't cleaned up. And he's declining very rapidly, but he's still one of our pillars on our offense. Without him, Lane Johnson has to move over to left tackle, which is going okay. And I think that's the move of the future. Lane Johnson's going to become our left tackle. We took him fourth overall a couple of years back. That's great. That's kind of how that's meant to be. But the problem with that is we have this guy Kelly come up as the right tackle, and he's not very strong. He's doing fine. He's a guard. He's not meant to be a tackle in the NFL, but he's the reason Bradford got knocked out, and he's the reason they were getting a lot of pressure in that Dolphins game. So, yeah, when we're in this shuffled line, I'm glad to hear you don't have the pass rush because we need that assistance. With a good pass rush, we're really in trouble. I'm surprised we handled Dallas as well as we did, but I honestly just don't think Greg Hardy, if you just focus on Hardy, they don't have much else that can get after you.
I mean, we've had a makeshift line all year. Ali Marpet, the rookie right guard, got injured, and so we had Evan Dietrich Smith, who used to be at the Packers, came in and filled in, and we didn't really have any problems.
Mm-hmm. That's great. We will hopefully cause some with Cox and Benny Logan. I think you will notice those guys as you watch us. Those are my two interior guys.
I am super worried about Cox, Curry, Brandon Graham. I can see us getting lit up a little bit there. This game's going to be won and lost in the trenches, ultimately.
Yeah, it'll be really fun, though. I mean, Sanchez versus Winston is an awesome match. I thought Winston winning that game last week, that's huge for him. You know, a guy that's going to build into his character for next year and in the future. He's winning close games. I think you guys are in great shape. I think it's going to be a great game. What would you say is the final score if you had to guess the prediction?
I think if the Bucs were at home, I'd pick them. But I think as it's in Philly, I'm going to go 26-24 Philadelphia.
Wow, nice, nice. I will go 24-17 Philadelphia. I am not very confident, but I just have to have faith. Like you said, we're still kind of both in the playoff race. We'll see how this goes. But man, this will be a great game. I'm looking forward to it. I'll talk to you later, man.
Yeah, nice to talk to you, man.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
Do well in soccer.
I'll try my best. Try and score a goal for you, and I'll dedicate it to our next fan up.
Hey there, everybody. This is James with Next Fan Up. I am your Houston super fan. This is the show for the fans, by the fans. And right now, I'm going to be hosting a super fan battle between the Kansas City super fan Nick and the San Diego super fan Ken.
Yeah, sure. I am Nick, Kansas City super fan, feeling good coming off our last loss. But I actually have some worries coming into this game. I'm curious to see how depressed Ken is and if any of those worries are actually founded.
How's it going, everyone? My name is Ken. I'm the Chargers super fan, and I am very depressed about this team. I am all in on getting the best draft pick possible. I would like to be in every game till the very end and lose in fantastic fashion as we've done all season.
You guys seem to have that down, so.
We do. We do. It's an art form. Norv Turner has made his the ghost of Norv Turner is on the sidelines, I feel like. It's been horrendous to watch, and at this point, I expect them to lose most of their next upcoming games just because of injuries alone. But I mean, the injury bug has been crazy for us this season. It's impossible to evaluate anything that's gone on when you have undrafted free agents littered throughout the roster that have to see significant playing time.
Yeah, that's a good place to start. I mean, in terms of you know, it seems like that the whole middle of your defense used to be injured. It sounds like you're getting some of those guys back, and your O-line seems to be entirely a practice squad scout team. What situation there right now?
I was looking at the practice report today, and I did see that Manti Te'o is coming back. The whole defense has been injured on every level, whether it's Corey Legit on the defensive line, Te'o and Butler at the middle linebacker spot. Brandon Flowers, Eric Weddle, Joseph Addai, they've all spent time on the sidelines for significant portions of the season. And it's incredible because when they have been on the field, they've been pretty stout except for big plays. But then as soon as they got injured, I mean, they're awful now. They're truly bad. And so hopefully we'll see some of those guys actually make a return this week. But my, you know, even if they do come back, I don't know if they're even, they'll be even good at this point. I think they've given up.
So that's kind of the view from San Diego. I was curious what your expectations were coming into this game, Nick, especially with Peyton Manning now going to be sidelined for at least this week, if not a few more.
Well, it was such a weird game last week. That's part of it. It's part of the factor for me and a lot of the unknowns in terms of the Chiefs team and how things are going to play out this Sunday. I mean, for one, you know, it's difficult to know how much of how much the Chiefs' really dominant victory last Sunday was due to Peyton Manning being about as bad as literally, actually, we can say that it was definitely the worst performance of his career. You know, but that said, you know, the Chiefs' offense, I mean, they weren't all pick sixes. I mean, the Chiefs' offense did score 29 points on the Broncos, which is the most they've allowed all season. Granted, they had short fields a good portion of that time, but, you know, still, it showed there's some hope for this Chiefs' offense. The defense obviously was dominant. But the other thing I worry about is that I know that, you know, the Chiefs went into that game coming off the bye, and they treated it like a playoff game. It was the game that was needed, the win that was needed to turn around their season. And so there's a real worry that there's going to be a bit of a hangover after that. And they're now facing kind of an opposite situation where they're going into San Diego, you know, facing a team that has been brutal all this season, but it's been brutal largely due to injuries, and they're coming off their bye now. They've had 2 weeks to prepare to try to right the ship and get a few people healthy. And, you know, it could be one of those surprise games. At least that's my general worry. Because despite how good the Chiefs looked, you know, like Ken was saying, their biggest weakness has been against the big plays. Well, Kansas City doesn't really have a whole lot of big plays. If they can get, you know, just enough going on defense to slow down the Chiefs offense, which generally isn't that potent anyway, then I do think, you know, from experience, lots of experience playing Phillip Rivers, that he can get, you know, get the offense moving enough that if he can make it a shootout, then it's going to be trouble time for Kansas City. On the other hand, if they're playing with just holes at every position on the offensive line, I think the Kansas City front seven is going to tear right through them.
And that's what I'm so worried about, is that front seven against our, you know, even when we were healthy, I was worried about that front seven. I don't think that there's any shot that the Chargers get their run game going this season or this week. They've been bad all season. Melvin Gordon, it's not his fault that he hasn't produced, because there's just nothing there for him. And then when there is, it seems like every single time he gets a big run, there's a holding call. So I think Tom Bahawi, Houston are going to get Rivers on the ground more times than not this weekend. And although Rivers is really good against the blitz and against pressure, the Chiefs are going to be able to drop seven or eight into coverage almost every play and still get consistent pressure, which is not good for Rivers at all.
Yeah. The other coverage weakness that the Chiefs have that I think Chargers might be able to exploit is just that the Chiefs really only have one slot corner, and he's been injured. And that's really been what has worked when the Chargers have been moving. It's been crossing patterns over the middle and things like that. And that's, you know, the Chiefs have gotten a lot better defending those this season, but that was the one thing that was hurting them early on, because they basically have four corners that are all built to be perimeter guys and our one slot guy's injured. So they've been instead, you know, and they love to do press man on everything. Well, press man is, you know, the way to beat that is crossing patterns. So they've been dropping middle linebackers into zone and things like that to try to fix it. But, you know, it is one of those things where even if the Chargers are weak at a lot of spots, that's something where they can get some production and it's actually a decent matchup against the Chiefs.
I definitely agree. The only problem is Keenan Allen's done for the year, and that is what we were doing with him. Our run game was essentially short routes to Keenan Allen and letting him do something with him. I think he was on pace before he got sent to injured reserve for almost 150 catches, and obviously that's a huge projection that probably wasn't going to work out. But it just really sucks that, you know, probably our second best offensive player is done for the year. I think Rivers will be able to move the ball a little bit, but when it comes down to scoring red zone situations, I think they're going to struggle. And it's, you know, this season has fallen on the shoulders of Phillip Rivers, and he can only do so much with no defense and no offensive line and no running game and now no wide receivers and an old tight end with Antonio Gates. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, the injuries are they're unexplainable. I really don't know what's going on with the training staff, because I don't know if Mike McCoy is a good coach or if he just has a bad training staff or we're just unlucky. I mean, there's a lot of answers, or there's a lot of questions that need answers. And I, you know, I think Mike McCoy is good, but who knows? This week is put all your money on the Chiefs. That's all I got to say.
That kind of segues. I was going to ask I've kind of gathered who both of you were going to pick. I was just going to be more curious on if you were thinking this was going to be a tight game, a defensive game, or just an out and out blowout by the Chiefs.
I think if I had to bet, I think it'd be a blowout, just the way that things are going right now. But you never bet against, you know, when you have 17 behind center, he can do some stuff, even though he has no one to throw to. He could will this team into a tight game. But I think when it comes down to it, the Chiefs are going to win by probably a touchdown or so.
Yeah, I'd say if this was a normal regular season game, I'd say that the Chiefs in this situation would blow out the Chargers. But just having them come off their bye, you know, with a few guys a bit healthier, and this Phillip Rivers, you know, is going to get some things going, the Chiefs probably aren't going to score a whole lot. I do think it's going to end up close, even if it looks like a domination on the field.
So there's our super fan super battles. Am I even saying it right? I don't even know anymore. Does it matter? Jets and Jets and the Texans. The Texans, by the way, let's give you one last update on the little Texans. Father-son jamboree was last weekend. The important thing to note out of that is one of the fathers seemed to have forgotten that he was a father during the pickup game. And yes, I am now with a broken right pinky from playing in the father-son pickup game. So that's the little Texans, and their season is all over. The big Texans, their season was over a while ago. As much as I wanted them to be a member of this NFL season, they simply aren't. The Jets simply are. I think the Jets here are going to crush the Texans. Nick, what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, the weird thing is that the big Texans, no matter how bad their record is and how bad they've been on the field, they're actually the rest of the division has been conspiring to keep them in it. They're still tied to division lead with Indianapolis 4-5. And while I'm not going to pick them in this game, I do think, weirdly enough, that hot dumpster fire could end up blocking the playoffs, depending upon how the rest of the division shakes out.
Ramona?
Yeah, I'm giving it to the road team too, just because for me, honestly, it's emotion, because you know, they just had that huge win Monday night, short week. I don't think they're going to be prepared, and I think the Jets, because they've been kind of on a downward side, are looking for a really good, robust win, and they could take advantage of the Texans' just weak offense.
All right, we also heard from your boy Sitko representing the Eagles. They are hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and despite the fact that it's the Sanchez taking over at quarterback, I still have the Eagles in this one. Ramona,
it's going to be close. It's going to be close. No, we'll figure out a way to lose. I am not optimistic about this team, and I've been that way the whole season. I'm just like, I'm so ready for football to be over, to be perfectly honest. I've already been focusing on college basketball. Go Hoos, go UVA. Then that's for Sam, because he's a UNC fan. Anyway, yeah, I feel like the Eagles at home should pull out the win. But again, you never know. It just depends how much pressure can we put on Jameis. Can we stop him from doing some of the things he can do? Again, I like the fact that he's a rookie quarterback and our defense has been playing really, really solid. Again, I would love to see DeMarco Murray have a much better game. Like, maybe with Sanchez, it'll be a better combination. I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see how Sanchez fits into all this. But yay, Mark Sanchez. At least with Bradford, it's an upper body injury this time and not lower. So there's that.
I was watching a little bit of the NFL Network, for you fantasy guys out there, the one wide receiver who might benefit from Mark Sanchez taking over is Jordy Matthews, who apparently has been playing all season. I don't know. He's one of my top picks in a fantasy draft, and he hasn't shown up at all this year. So hopefully Mark Sanchez revives the career of Jordy Matthews.
It'd be nice.
Nick, who you got?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a close one too. And I sort of wavered on this back and forth when I, as you know, with my mouse hanging over the pigskin pick'em, but I am going to go with Philadelphia in this one. I just feel like, the Buccaneers, they've won some good games in the last few weeks, but they've never had to face a really, I would say, potent and varied offense. And you know, obviously, Philadelphia's had those struggles, but with the up-tempo, it's going to be something new for this unit. They haven't really put in any great defensive performances, I don't think, the Buccaneers. They've just sort of, they've ended up with, you know, the Romo-less Cowboys, whom everybody's apparently been able to beat. So, you know, I think it's going to be a tough-fought battle, but I trust that Chip Kelly is going to be able to mess with Jameson's head a bit on the defensive side of the ball. And on the flip side, that even with Sanchez probably making a few boneheaded plays, just the tempo and things like that are going to be able to be enough for them to score the most points in the game against the Bucs.
I mean, realistically, all Chip Kelly has to do is copy what Oregon did last year against FSU during the college football playoff, and he'll be fine.
There you go.
Because that's how the NFL works, copying the college playoffs. Just like Kramer pretended he was movie phone, Nick, why don't you tell us who you picked in the Chiefs-Chargers game?
Well, luckily for everybody listening, you get a double serving of Chiefs this week. I picked the Chiefs. I actually don't feel nearly as confident about it as Ken, Chargers superfan, does. But I do think that it's going to be a business trip for them. I hope they don't have too big of a head after treating last week like a playoff game and thoroughly dominating a good team. Because the Chargers are coming back healthy-er. But I'm picking the Chiefs.
Well, I will tell you that Number Fire likes San Diego +3 as a 46.4% likelihood. I have to tell you, my strategy of going against Number Fire has been working for me. I also like the Chiefs in this game. Ramona, who do you got?
I think I am leaning towards the Chargers, and I don't like either team, to be really honest with you. I still question, because again, it's Andy Reid, and he always, whenever he was coaching the Eagles, he always won the games he wasn't supposed to, and he always lost the games he was supposed to. To win. And I feel like this sentence, and again, you guys have been great. The Chiefs have been great without Jamaal Charles. But, you know, it's funny. Everybody was like freaking out when he went down. I'm like, he went down last year. He goes down every year. So I'm like, I don't see what the big deal is. So I just think if the Chargers can figure out a way to just control and keep the pace of tempo, and then also if Philip Rivers can actually get the ball downfield, I think they could pull out a win.
So when I mention my picking against Number Fire, that's mostly for my against the spread pool that I'm in, because I'm doing extremely well in that. I'm currently in fourth place in the Next Fan Up Pigskin Pick'em group, which is just picking the picking the winners. Last week was a rough week for most of us, as I only got 5 right, and I guarantee that is not above average. Let's go take a quick look here. To just double check that. 5 points was actually 5 points was average last week, which says a lot about what happened last week with games. Last week was a big surprise for a lot of people. That sort of crazy week doesn't normally happen 2 weeks in a row. And I already mentioned I'm taking the Chiefs. Should mention here that Sitgo is still in the lead. But basically, the Next Fan Up group is between Sitgo, Steelers Greg, and Cowboy Brian. I am in fourth place, but I am 8 games out of first. So the likelihood I'm going to make up that ground by the end of the season, it's possible, but not probable. But Steelers Greg is only two games behind Sitko, and Cowboy Brian four games behind Sitko. Those three will be battling it out. And Cowboy Brian had eight crazy week last week. So we'll see what happens in the Pigskin Pick'em. Speaking of Pigskin Pick'em, the next game up is the Indianapolis Colts at my boyfriend Atlanta Falcons. I don't think I need to go too far in on this. I've loved the Falcons despite the fact that they're on this losing streak. The Colts, they've been struggling with Andrew Luck. One could say that they might do a little bit better with a healthy quarterback, but that healthy quarterback is Matt Hasselbeck. I am not buying it. I'm going to take the Falcons. Ramona?
I'm taking Falcons too. They are due for a big game. But it's funny. I had my latest podcast guest and I were talking about fantasy football, and we feel like Matt Ryan catfished us this year because it looked so good the first couple of games. And then all of a sudden he became himself and it was disappointing and sad. But I feel like, again, Colts have no defense whatsoever. Devontae Freeman should be able to run. Julio Jones should have a monster game. So I looked at the Falcons. Plus they're playing at home.
By the way, Nick, my picking against number fire coming into play here. Indianapolis plus 5.5, likelihood 60.3%. Yeah, I just don't see it, number fire. Good luck with that. What do you say, Nick?
Hasselbeck's a man. He's 40. But that said, I mean, I'd be tempted to pick Indianapolis over there at home just because, I mean, look, he's not Andrew Luck. That is true. But guess what? The Falcons lost to Gabbert, you know, just left. So,
they did.
You know, is 40-year-old Hasselbeck better than Gabbert? Maybe. But still, as Ramona said, they don't really have a functional defense, and they are in Atlanta. So I'm going to still begrudgingly pick the Falcons.
All right. The next game coming up on the – oh, look at this. It's the Broncos and the Bears. Speaking of struggling quarterbacks, Mr. Peyton Manning, whom we all said during the preseason, this has got to be his last season. He probably should have hung it up last year. Now he's down with a little bit of plantar fasciitis. I'm curious if that's what's really going on or if they're just trying to cover up the fact that, you know, Manning probably shouldn't have played another year. Brock Osweiler on the road against the Chicago Bears. And that's sort of what makes things very interesting because it's the Chicago Bears. I'm going to take the Denver Broncos and trust, unlike the Dallas Cowboys defense, the Broncos defense to keep them on top. What say you, Ramona?
I like the Broncos defense in this. I'm going to take Broncos.
All right, Nick, you're the one that's got the most experience here with the Broncos defense. What do you say?
Well, the Chiefs have actually played both of these teams. I mean, obviously Denver twice. You know, but going on the road in Chicago, the one worry I have in this, the big thing is that, you know, against this defense, especially that it's going to be getting Aqib Talib back in suspension this week, that Jay Cutler could throw like five interceptions in this game. He's been better about that in the last several weeks under Gase's offense. And by the way, Gase and Fox, the head coach and offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears, they probably know more about Brock Osweiler than anybody else in this league. I mean, they're the only guys that have really seen this guy throw it because he's only really thrown it in practice in preseason. And so I do think that Chicago is going to be able to cobble together something that's going to stymie Brock Osweiler enough, and I think that they're going to continue their relatively efficient ways on the go nuts and they stick with what works. I think they can win this one. I'm picking the Bears.
Interesting. All right. Well, we have a dissenting opinion, which is fantastic. It makes for good podcasting, but usually only if we go back and forth, and we're not going to. We're going to take your word for it and move on to the next game, which happens to be the Cowboys and the Dolphins. The Cowboys, who have struggled without Tony Romo, get Tony Romo back at the helm. They go into Miami, who had a nice little roller coaster. They stunk. Fired their head coach. They played two good games and then they stunk again. So the question is, are the Miami Dolphins the team that did okay after they fired their coach, or are they the team that stinks? I'm inclined to believe they are the team that stinks. I'm taking the Cowboys. Nick?
My feelings are about the same. I would feel a lot better about this pick for Dallas if they were playing in Dallas. But, you know, Tony Romo's back. I think he's the only guy who has the sort of both the talent and the kind of the veteran experience there. It seems that he knows what he's got to do in order to try to turn the season around. I think it's too late for them, but he's going to give it his best shot, and he's really motivated. And they, you know, all of the Dolphins' strengths seem to line up to Dallas' strengths. I mean, Tua's not going to be able to do that much against what's probably at least a top three offensive line. So without that, I think Dallas should be able to walk away with it.
Ramona?
As much as I hate picking them, hate it, so gross. I got to give Cowboys in this one. I think with Romo coming back, Dez and just that line is still really good, despite them losing seven games. It just, you know what it is. It was funny. I read Brian's preview on your Facebook page, and I agree with him that obviously Cowboys fans need to be thankful for their quarterback because it proves how important he really is to that offense right now. I think the Cowboys, but I think it's gonna be close.
Interesting. I don't know how close it's going to be. I still see a heavy dose of Run DMC against that Miami Dolphins defense. I think that's really the key of this game. We've got the Raiders at the Detroit Lions. This one just comes down to, who do I believe in more? Do I believe in the upstart Oakland Raiders, or do I believe in the Jim Caldwell-led Detroit Lions? And I think when I say, do I believe in a Jim Caldwell-led anything, unless it's a church choir, it's the Oakland Raiders I'm going with in this one. Because Jim Caldwell is not a football coach. I hate to say it. I'm sorry, dude. You're just not. Ramona?
Yeah, I agree. I like Raiders in this matchup. I love their upstart. I love their tempo. I think that this team is going to be very dangerous in the next two or three years. They're looking really, really good. And then the Lions, they just have so many problems. And it's a shame, but it's not personnel. It's definitely coaching. I mean, when you've got a guy named Jim Bob Cooter as your offensive coordinator, you've already got problems.
Nick?
Yeah, I got to agree. It's similar to the Jacksonville game to me, that the only unit that I like in this really is Oakland's offense. And while it has been, I think, primarily coaching that's had caused a lot of Detroit's woes, one of their biggest weaknesses is just a total lack of any speed and really not even very good awareness at the linebacker position. So I think Latavius Murray is going to have a big day. And if they focus on sort of crossing routes and stuff, you know, towards the middle of the field, I think Oakland's weapons are going to be able to run away with it. I mean, heck, I mean, the Detroit let Alex Smith run for a 49-yard run. So they did not have the speed to keep up with some of the guys on through the middle of the field. So, yeah, Oakland.
All right, we've got the St. Louis Rams and the Baltimore Ravens. Now, normally you look at the records of these two teams and you're like, oh, Baltimore is definitely on the decline. They don't have a chance. But listen to this. Thank you to the good folks at ESPN Stats and Info. The Ravens have seen all nine of their games this season decided by 8 points or less, while the Rams are 31st in points per drive, that's 1.34, on offense. The Ravens have yielded the sixth fewest yards per carry on the season and will look to force the game into the right hand of new starter Case Keenum. And I think that's all I really should have had to say. I'm taking the Baltimore Ravens in this game, Ramona.
Interesting. I can't trust Nick Foles as a quarterback.
You don't have to terribly. Trust Nick Foles. You don't have to trust him because it's Case Keenum taking over.
That's right. I'm just totally sorry. People are yelling at me about turkeys right now in the background. So sorry, Pavader. Like probably many women in your life, I kind of tuned you out a little bit. I don't trust right now St. Louis offense. But here's the thing. I don't really trust Baltimore offense either. Just both teams are a wash. But I'll give it. I'll find Baltimore.
Nick?
You know, I came into this really ready to pick Baltimore in a close one, but I'm tired of us all agreeing upon everything, so I'm going to say, no, what are you thinking? Absolutely, it's going to be St. Louis.
I felt bad that I didn't pick St. Louis, by the way, because my NFL boyfriend, Chris Long, UVA amazing graduate, is, you know, on the Rams, but it's the home team, so.
Well, look, I think actually Baltimore, the places where they've been most improving on defense has actually been in the passing game. Their cornerbacks seem to be coming on a little bit better. And they may have, been strong against the run so far this season, but they haven't faced this rushing attack. I'm going to go ahead and just to be contrarian and say St. Louis wins this one. How's that for confidence?
Well, I am going to say it's strength versus strength. You're looking at Todd Gurley versus a strong Ravens run defense. So from the useless stat department, the Ravens are 3-2 in this series versus the Rams, of course, and they've won the past two. Of course, those games were in 2011 and 2007. That is why they are useless stats. The next game on the list here is the Redskins at the still undefeated Carolina Panthers. And is this it? Is this the one I'm locking up? I'm not locking this one, but I want to lock it. And I could easily lock it. The Panthers here should have no problem with the Redskins. Nick?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a blowout. Cousins put up great numbers last week, but a lot of that was on screens and really easy passes. He really didn't have to challenge, throwing balls into tight windows. And when he does that, he gets intercepted. I don't think it's going to be anything like last week. He doesn't get to play a Rob Ryan defense. In fact, maybe no one will ever get to play a Rob Ryan defense ever again.
Let's hope.
This is going to be a very different affair, and I think Carolina runs away with this one big time. Maybe three scores.
Ramona?
I say hail to the Panthers. No question. At home, they're playing so well. Their defense is good. Their offense is great. Cam Newton is an absolute I love him so, so much all day. Plus, I love it when Washington loses because I'm just a mean person.
Well, I'm going to leave that at that. We move now to the 4 o'clock games. We already talked about the Chiefs and the Chargers. So we're talking about the Packers at the Vikings. All right. Listen, Chris Ferris and I have got this little deal going down. The Vikings are currently beating my boyfriend's, the Falcons. Vikings are 7-2. They are currently ahead in that division. But we're talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, and I don't care how bad they've looked lately. There's just simply no way. There's no way the Vikings are beating the Packers. And because the Vikings are somehow favored by a half a point, I am making this my upset special.
We're not a very good football team right now, obviously.
Hey, Mark Trestman, get out of here. That was a good pick. Packers are going to win this one. What say you, Ramona?
I really want the Packers to win this one. They're ripe for a win. They're going to get this. I mean, it's the Packers. It's Aaron Rodgers. He will fix himself. I'm sure he's doing whatever Jedi mind tricks he needs to do to get himself in the right frame of mind. He's not going to lose, three games in a row. I think Packers.
Nick?
I just don't see, from a personnel and a matchup standpoint, what's going to be fundamentally easier for the Packers in this game than from the last couple. If the Lions can go into Lambeau and beat this Packers team, then I think the Vikings can beat them at home. I still think that Green Bay is going to get themselves into the playoffs. They're going to be a team that no one wants to play there. But for now, they just don't have it working. And I think their slide continues at least through this week because, don't look now, but the Vikings are actually a strong, good team. And they're already in the lead in the division. I think this is a bit of a change in the guard. And I think that things are lining up for the Vikings to actually win this division this year.
Adrian Peterson is leading the league in rushing. He ran for 200 yards last week. I say he's tired. I say that he can't pull it off. Teddy Bridgewater has won.
What? What? Are you insane? Are you crazy?
Yes. I'm giving you some useless stats here.
What happens if you lose this bet? Can you remind us what happens to you when you lose this bet? Because I have a feeling I did pick the Packers here, but I kind of agree with Nick. The Vikings very well could win this division. What happens to you when you lose this bet?
It hasn't been determined yet. Teddy Bridgewater has won 7 in a row at home. Aaron Rodgers has won 9 of his past 10 starts versus Minnesota, including the playoffs, and has won 20 of his past 24 division games. Aaron Rodgers does not like playing. Well, he loves playing against the teams in his division, and he is going to go out there and crush the Vikings. So sorry, Vikings fans. I'm still not on your bandwagon. I refuse to get on it. I'm not. It's not happening here.
I think you need to plead for leniency on this bet. Get something really easy right now. It's never going to be easier.
Yeah, because otherwise he's just going to start piling stuff on Pod Vader, and you're going to wind up. I'm kind of curious to see what happens.
I already admitted that this bet is going to end in a tie. Both teams are going to end up with the exact same record. Next up is the Seattle Seahawks versus the San Francisco 49ers. And what's interesting to me about this game is the point spread. And so I'm trying to quickly get to my number fire number because I am locking in Seattle here. But the point spread seems a little high to me. Yes, Seattle minus 12.5. Number fire says 41% likelihood. I tend to agree, but I don't see Seattle losing to San Francisco, Ramona.
I agree. I mean, you know, yes, San Francisco pulled out a great win. You know, Atlanta a couple weeks ago and the Seahawks have not looked like themselves, but it's still the 49ers are a absolute train wreck and Seattle is playing at home. And that's a huge advantage no matter how poorly Seattle's playing. And again, we're comparing Seattle from the last 2 years, which they've played exceptionally well. So, you know, looking at it this year, it's not been as good. We know this. It's not as big of a boom in the Legion of Boom, but it's still boomable. So is that even a word? Anyway, Seahawks.
I mean, the real question here, Nick, is can Seattle even score 12.5 points?
Well, I think they put up big numbers in their, at least, you know, last week and in several of their games this year. And in terms of the outcome of the game, I don't have a lot more to say about this. I mean, I think Seattle can beat them fairly handily at home. And I think they need that. But I am genuinely intrigued to see what Blaine Gabbert 2.0, Real American Hero, can do. I frankly don't think he was even that impressive against the Falcons, but, you know, if he's just stable enough, they still have, even though they lost so many starters on defense, San Francisco, they still have actually pretty good depth, and a lot of those depth players are starting to step up. So this could be something resembling a mediocre team going through the rest of the season, but definitely going to test that assumption.
So next up is the Sunday night game. It is the Bengals at the Arizona Cardinals. And this one is a great game. This is definitely game of the week action here. I don't even know where to go with this. Ramona, go ahead and start us off. What do you think of this game?
First up, can I just say Bengals? I know we talked about the recap show, but Bengals on Monday night, it was bound to happen, guys. I'm sorry. I kept telling you on my podcast, kept telling you during the previews. I love English Simon or Australian Simon or whatever Simon we're calling him this week, but I knew the Bengals would fall apart at some point, and they did on Monday night. That being said, the Cardinals are coming in, or the Bengals are going to the Cardinals. I'm going to give it to Arizona. I think the home team, they are playing very, very well. Carson Palmer looks terrific. That defense is very good. And I know the Bengals have a really good offense, you know, Tyler Eifert and AJ Green and all that stuff. But I think the Cardinals, I really, really like them as I've been seeing them. I'm jumping on that bandwagon. So sorry, Bengals fans.
Nick, what do you say?
I hadn't really made a pick actually before this podcast. I'm still struggling with it because this could be a Super Bowl matchup, really. These two teams are extremely strong. They don't have many weaknesses. The one bias I guess I would have is I've been a bit of an Arizona doubter, and they've proved me wrong for most of the season. But I still think that they're, you know, they've had their losses. At least one game was right. You're right. Yeah. Anyway, but they've run up against some problems as well. I mean, the Bengals' one loss is fresh in our minds. But that was with AJ Green doing almost nothing. And he has those games every now and then where he just sort of disappears or gets blanketed. Well, he just doesn't have those two games in a row. Tyler Eifert, you know, had a chance to save them in that game. He dropped it like three times in a row at critical points.
I don't see that happening again. I just think that the Bengals are able to throw away the tape of that last game and together, and I'm going to pick them to win on the road.
Well, depending on how you feel about Patrick Peterson, we're most likely going to see Patrick Peterson versus AJ Green. I tend to believe that that is going to lead towards a victory for the Cardinals, at least, or a victory for Patrick Peterson. Number Fire loves Arizona -5 at 49.3% likelihood. Now, normally, when Number Fire loves a team, I say do the opposite. However, ESPN Stats and Info reminds me the Bengals are coming off the short week. The Cardinals are at home. Both these teams are high-powered offenses in terms of their ranking in the league. I am going to go with the home team. It's the Greg rule of thumb on this one. Got to go with the home team, Arizona Cardinals. But I think this has the makings of a fantastic game and one that everyone should watch for sure. One that everyone can skip if they'd like is the Monday night football game between the Rex Ryan-led Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots. Yeah, the Patriots are at home and they're playing the Bills. That's usually enough said. Now, -7.5, I don't know about that. The injuries piling up, no Julian Edelman. That offensive line continues to be banged up. Those things worry me in terms of an undefeated season, but in terms of a victory over Buffalo, it does not. I like the Patriots on Monday night. Ramona?
This is tough because my football brain tells me, yes, the Patriots should win. But I want the Bills to win. Number one, because I want Shady McCoy to always do well because I have fond feelings for him. I miss him in Philadelphia very much. And I'm glad he's back and he's playing very well. For me is always going to be Rex Ryan. I never trust his coaching. I never trust him during big, giant games like this because he, for whatever reason, his teams just do not deliver. I don't know if it's game planning. I don't know if it's him focusing on the wrong things. I don't know what, but I feel like the Patriots now, they're starting to come apart because of all the injury. I mean, and you guys always seem to find a way to kind of piece together whatever you need to get a deeper run.
They never come apart. That's a horrible choice of phrase. The Patriots never come apart.
Whatever, Pod Vader. But the Bills are coming together at the right time. Like, they're starting to piece it together. They're starting to get it together. And they're starting to rack up some wins in your division. So they could sneak in, you know, depending on what they could do. But fine. I'll use the Greg thing of home team, but I don't feel good about it. I don't ever feel good about picking the Patriots in anything.
By the way, in the Slack group, there's been conversation about ranking the quarterbacks. And I think I actually brought this up as sort of the burning question of the week for the super fans in their previews is, how does your quarterback rank amongst the other quarterbacks in the league as of today? And I think I brought that up because there's been huge quarterback turnover this past week. And I will give you this lovely useless stat. And I now put useless in quotes. In his past 8 versus Buffalo, Tom Brady, 7-1, has passed for 2,232 yards with 18 touchdowns and 3 interceptions for a 101 rating. He aims for his 10th in a row with 2+ touchdowns. Tom Brady is a great quarterback. And the fact that there's even a conversation in our Slack group that he's not one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the league is beyond.
I thought it was number one. What are you talking about?
I'm speechless.
I'm not in the Slack group, so I can't help you.
No, they've said they've taken Tom Brady out of the conversation. It's ridiculous. You put Tom Brady number one, Nick.
When I was engaged and I put out my top 10, he was number one in mine. And I'll only speak for myself.
And I'm not in the Slack group. I may be the 34th Slack group, so I can't put my opinion in. So, but.
That's right.
Well, here's what I'll say about the game, and this plays into the rankings there. I put a little bit of rationale next to mine, and I put in Brady. I mean, I think there are definitely quarterbacks in this league that I think are now showing more raw skills than he has. I mean, you can't say that he has, like, more higher quarterbacking talent than Cam Newton, for instance. But I don't think, especially when you're looking at this year, I don't think there's any quarterback in this league that has done more with less than what Brady has right now on the Patriots roster. And that's part of why, you know, going into this game, there's tons of matchups that I do not like for the Patriots. They filled up an entire hospital ward with their offensive linemen. They're facing a very good Bills defensive line. And, you know, with now all these other injuries to other Patriots weapons, against a good defense, I think this is going to be a low-scoring affair. And you saw Brady really struggle against the Giants. But all of that said, I've also not been nearly as impressed with Rex Ryan's Buffalo Bills this year as everybody else has. There's none of their wins that really stand out. It's like, oh, that's a great signature win against a really good team. I think they're a little bit overrated, and even if I don't like any of the matchups in the Patriots' favor, they just somehow have been finding ways to win in these games. And the same reason why I've put Brady at the top of my QB rankings, I think the Patriots are going to figure out a way to win this one.
Has Brady really had more than less than what Cam Newton had? I mean, let's think about this, because Cam Newton's number one target last season was Kelvin Benjamin. He hasn't been there at all season. Cam Newton has carried that Carolina offense, you know, also undefeated. So, I mean, right now, they're really even matched.
I mean, well, let's I think would about say, it. Brady has well, gone. Well, Brady well, had, well, that's a perfect, I mean, come on. We all want to get in on this one. That's a perfect example, because Brandon LaSmell really stunk up the joint when he had Mr. Superman as his quarterback. But now that he's playing with Tom Brady, he looks like the second coming of Randy Moss. That's a little hyperbole, but you see what I'm saying. Brandon LaFell got a lot better at wide receiver with Tom Brady at quarterback than he did with Cam Newton.
The other thing is that Carolina has one of the best defenses in the league this year. They've always kept their opponents scoring way down. And also, Carolina is the only team in the league that has more rushing attempts than passing attempts. I mean, basically, the offense is built around the fact we know we're going to make some yards on the ground, and then Cam can kind of pick apart. He'll do some designed runs. He'll do some things once the other team is keying on the run. So he's really benefited from those two big things. And that's not really been the case with the Patriots. Their defense has been holding up, you know, pretty well, but it's nothing super fantastic on the Patriots side. And they've had, you know, as we mentioned, huge offensive line woes. And there have been games where they didn't even bother to rush the ball. So, you know, there's a lot of other teams, a lot of the good quarterbacks that have serious weaknesses on their teams. But I haven't seen anybody that has been able to totally put it on his own back and make it work like Tom Brady has this season.
Here's the difference. If you take out Brady out of that offense and you put in another quarterback with Belichick's mind, with the way he works, I feel like they would be fine. If you take Cam Newton out of Carolina, there is no way they have the season they have. And there's the difference. You just said it yourself. Like it's Cam Newton. So if we're just looking at straight quarterback play right now, I would want Cam Newton over anybody right now.
Well, And you, if you put another quarterback in the Bill Belichick system, you know, the thing that makes that offensive line work right now is Tom Brady's getting rid of the ball in less than 2 seconds, 2 seconds or less. That ball is coming out of his hands. So what other quarterback could fit that? Because honestly, I don't think Peyton Manning fits that system. I don't think even Aaron Rodgers fits that system all that well. But I would take Aaron Smith and put him in that system, and I think he'd excel. So I think it just depends on the type of quarterback when you're talking about Bill Belichick's system. Before we go, and before I let you get back to your turkeys there, Ramona, you thought you were going to get away with this, but no. Ramona and I are in the Blog Talk Radio Expert Fantasy League, and Ramona went and ran her mouth off a couple weeks ago.
I did not run my mouth. Oh my god!
She was dominating this league.
Pod Vader. Oh my gosh! We're getting tore up on my podcast.
No one could beat her. No one could beat her. And lo and behold, she finally faces Pod Vader. And not only did I crush her, I like stepped on her team and I just like squished it into the ground. 142-110. I mean, wasn't even close, Ramona.
Okay, first off, I never said domination. In fact, you, in one of your many 10-minute whatevers you've had with some of our other opponents, you know, league members, you were the one who was saying that. And I'm like, when you were saying that, I was number one in the league. And I'm like, wait a minute. How can someone dominate a league when he's not number one? Nor have you been number one in the league. What was it, like the first week when we were in that weird, like, you know, cluster of everybody playing against each other in weird group setting? That was really weird, by the way.
I'd like to point out.
Yeah, during the group setting. And then once you did straight up matches, you've not been number one since. So, no, that is ridiculous. And just no. Yes, you beat me. There's nothing I can say over that. Well done. I am facing an issue of a lot of my top players. Again, I had Keenan Allen. He was giving me mad points, and now he's gone for the season. James Jones isn't giving me anything, you know. So, and a couple of my guys were on bye. I mean, it happens. So, you know, I'm trying a new quarterback this week and we're going to see how it goes. But, you know, stop it. I never said that I was dominating. I just merely replied to you. And then you're the one saying that I ran my mouth. I have many other things to do, Pod Vader, than to worry about our fantasy football league. So calm down.
You played Justin Forsett over TJ Yeldon. I mean, that's just wrong. You decided to go and play Tavon Austin over TJ Yeldon, for an example. Although I don't know if I could necessarily.
That was my only mistake. That was my only mistake. And really, I should have put TJ Yeldon in instead of, you know, some other people, to be honest.
Hey, listen, I came at you with Antonio Andrews, who gave me all of 0.8 points. I mean, you should have had a chance there. You had plenty of chance, except I also had Tom Brady and Eric Decker and Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, because Brandon Marshall got hurt, so he was out. So then they kept throwing it to stupid, pretty face Eric Decker, you know? Just.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Pod Vader, what would you let me say? Well done. Good job. Yay. I'll see you in the playoffs.
Right. That's right. I crushed you, and I'll crush you in the playoffs, too. In the update on the Blog Talk Radio Experts League, Mark Morales-Smith, who represents Scout Fantasy, is currently number one in the league with only one loss. I have two losses. Ramona now has three losses. The one team that I am definitely concerned about as the playoffs approach is Jeff Ratcliffe, who's come on strong since I crushed him early on this season. And I believe he put up the most points last week. Jeff Ratcliffe is the guy in this foursome here that we all need to be concerned with, because he's going to end up beating us all.
Probably.
All right.
Because he's done this on the waiver. but well done, Pod Vader. Is that what you wanted me to say? Well done. You know, you vanquished.
Not only done what you're saying, you know, well done, but I am Pod Vader. I am the master of the fantasy football league. And of course, now this means I will lose every single match that I have from this point on. I get to face Matt Chatham this week, which I'm very excited about. So I get to talk to Matt. We'll probably talk to Matt on this podcast next week, if I can get him, even if it's just for a few minutes. And hopefully we'll still be talking about an undefeated Patriots team. That's ultimately what's most important here.
Well, Pod Vader, you are aware that you are like king of jinxes, right? Like, you know, that amount of talk is really not productive. You have to rationally understand that, right?
I do rationally understand that. I mean, I have my locks of the week. I've had three wrong this year. Thank you, Green Bay, for losing last week. That was just spectacular of you. My upset specials, I don't even know. I don't even remember the last time my upset specials have come through for me. Those have just, you know, rapidly declined. And now, of course, I know I've run my mouth about the fantasy league, much like I ran my mouth with Rob Cesternino about his fantasy league. I don't think I've won since I talked to Rob about in his fantasy league. So, yes, I do understand this, that as soon as I open my mouth, I've jinxed everything. So, you know, it's most likely, it's more probable than not that the Patriots are going to face the Giants in the Super Bowl to lose. I get that.
That's your punishment. Neener, neener.
So thank you, Nick, for joining us here at the last second. Appreciate you being on your podcast. I just want to point that out to all the super fans. This is your podcast. So thank you. Thank you for coming on.
This is my podcast. Thank you.
And Ramona, thank you for being the 42nd super fan.
Oh, it's I love hanging out with you guys. Seriously, in all seriousness, you guys are like one of my must listen. I listen every Monday and Thursday when you guys pop into my iTunes player. And, you know, I love being part of the Next Fan universe. And no, I never want to be in the Slack group because that seems like a scary, dark place.
It can be. It certainly can be. Speaking of iTunes, yes, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and you can get our podcast every Monday, every Thursday, as it shows up there. And we've been asking for reviews, and lo and behold, we've gotten 3 reviews. So from Seahawks Suck, I'm not making this up. They say, awesome. Love the podcast. I love hearing the passion from all of the super fans. The drops are kind of outdated, but all in all, great fan perspective. How dare you say the drops are outdated?
Hello, you play to win the game.
Drops are awesome.
Well, Seahawks Sucks likes most about the podcast, the fact that we don't have a Seahawks super fan, so we never have to hear about them. But, yeah.
I do have a couple of new ones.
You have some other drops. Yeah, you need some new drops. Like, you need some new material, Pod.
I have a couple of new ones that I got. I've got to load, but you know, I've been busy with my real job. Magic Mooner says, worth a listen. I've enjoyed listening to the cast. The commentary from Team Superfans gives more in-depth team insight than many analysts you watch on TV or listen to on the radio. Great format. Keep it up. And then from Go Yanks 715, real analysis from real fans who know their stuff. So there you go. Don't take my word for it. Take it from our fans, especially from Seahawks Suck. I love that. If you'd like to prove Seahawks Suck wrong and say that the Seahawks are awesome, then you could be a super fan by joining us, nextfanup@gmail.com. Tweet us at NFU Podcast. And of course, you can read our previews and listen to this podcast on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/NFU Podcast. Thanks to you all for listening. Keep those reviews coming in. Where's your show? Where can people listen to you, Ramona?
Well, I'm on Blog Talk Radio, of course. It's blogtalkradio.com/sportsgalpal, or you can sportsgalpal.com, because I also do blog posts that are a little bit different than my show. It's a little more about my real life and sports fandom and different thoughts and things. I've got some cool things coming up for Thanksgiving games and all that stuff. So
what do you got planned on your show? Anything good?
Yeah, I just had on Monday, I had 3-time world wrestling, Olympic wrestling champion, Adeline Gray. She's amazing. She's probably going to win a gold medal in Rio. And she's absolutely fantastic. Had her on the podcast. And then I just had Dennis Farrell on. That show dropped today and he was hilarious, very charming. And he gave me some great pointers. I wish I had listened to him before facing you. And then next week, I'm getting diving deep into college basketball. I've got a Maryland Terrapins podcaster coming on. And if anybody knows anything about former ACC rivals, I'm a UVA fan and graduate. Obviously, we hate Maryland. They're the Big Ten problem now, but it's going to be a good episode. So that's coming up.
Love it. Love it. So that's Ramona and her podcast. And as always, I like to end the show by letting you know there you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is 4 quarters long.